All right. Welcome to the Return of the Toddcast. This is episode 71, because I went back and counted all the old ones. I am John. I am one of the hosts. With me tonight is Bo. From the Ohio Valley store. I was just at his store today. It was awesome. He was not there.
I was hiding so at home.
It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. You got to sometime. But you know, we're trying to bring this back. We're bringing some comic talk back. We're gonna change up the format a little bit eventually soon. Where we're gonna eventually have some awesome guests. I will give you more on that once I have more information confirmed. But since I don't have that confirmed yet with a schedule, I'm not going to talk about it. But we do have some cool stuff coming up. We have every weekend for the rest of this month on Saturdays in Elwood. We have the seriously, this will be the last time we offer the sale this year, liquidation sale of the VFW stuff. They're all 25 cents a piece. You can fill a long box for 70 bucks. It's 12 to 5. And you have at this point, one, two, three more Saturdays. So it's every Saturday in October, except for the 31st. So you still have the 10th, the 17th and 24th to go check that out. We have the Secret Warehouse sale coming up in November. That is November 6th, 6th, 7th and 8th, I believe. And that is at the warehouse. It starts with $1 a piece on Thursday, 50 cents on Friday, and a quarter on Saturday. Definitely check it out. It is not heated, and the floors may be wet, so dress appropriately. Other than that, we have nothing else going on until Black Friday, which will be a thing eventually. And we're just kind of doing our thing in this crazy pandemic world. So, you know, and then, you know, next spring we'll have Three Rivers, hopefully. You know, we are planning on having it as of right now toward the end of May. Fingers crossed, more on that as we go along. So, you know, I personally have seen in the stores, I just want to talk a little bit about post-pandemic life with NDC. All the stores are open. Which is awesome. So please support your local NDC. Support your local comic shop, period. But if you happen to be in Pittsburgh, you know, come and hang out. We like you. Or, you know, in the Wheeling area and you're over by, you can all go hang out with Bo. but it's been pretty solid return. What do you think, Bo? Like, I know we're all doing kind of limited hours, but I think it's been pretty solid.
It's limited, but, you know, old faces, new faces, a bunch of new faces coming in still. So it's definitely good. So no complaints.
Yeah. And we definitely thank everybody who's been supportive. You know, you guys are keeping us employed and keeping us sane with giving us something to do by actually having enough money generated to keep a job going. And we thank you so much. So, all right. So let's dig into some comics. This is weird because this is the fastest I've read comics in a long time. I have my mic right now is sitting on a bunch of comics that I need to read.
I read a couple just before we got on, so I was ready. So,
all right. So, you know what? I'm going to start out with one that you and I can both talk about because it's kind of cool. It's kind of different. It's Walking Dead Deluxe, number one, which is basically the color version of The Walking Dead. Now I read only the first three volumes in the black and white, mostly because I don't do black and white very well. I do like Toni Moore's art though in black and white, and this color version, the dude who colored this, Dave McCraig, man, did he kill it. It is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It makes you wish Toni Moore was on for a while longer too. I missed him after the first four or five issues, whatever it was.
So. I think it's six.
Yeah, couldn't remember.
I think it's the first six. But it's just really well done. You know, I forgot how good this book, the single first issue, really was. Mm-hmm. And it's just awesome to see it, to kind of be like, oh man, it just gives it a whole new life with color. You know, everything from like what the zombies look like to, you know, just like the tones of the nighttime, shots. Like it really, it's really, really good. There are a lot of letter pages at the end.
That was interesting. That's what I found the most interesting of it all. Like just Kirkman explaining why he wanted to, you know, do things in color, because he was just so interested in, you know, seeing different scenes play out. I'm assuming the bloody scenes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Play out in color. And what I wasn't aware, I thought it was only going to be like a few issues. I didn't really pay attention too much, but he said it's going to be like an 8-year run of these colored editions. So it sounds like he's going to do the whole run.
That's what I heard. It was the whole run,
which is incredible. So they'll get me 1 through 100 for sure. but
yeah, I mean, for someone like me who didn't start reading it right when it came out and, mm-hmm. you know, missed it didn't want to go back and spend tons of money on those single issues. Like this is kind of cool. But issue 1 is out right now, and go check it out at your local NDC or your local comic shop. So
it's definitely worth picking up. It's a good read, even if you've read them before, just experience it again. You got Governor, Negan, all kinds of cool stuff in this.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's
so many different new covers, and on the back it shows the original cover, mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool. But then you see like the new covers and you're like, man, this is pretty sweet.
It is.
So, you know, and I picked up the Tony Moore one because I really enjoyed.
We was out of those. I was sad. I just got the regular one. I was kind of sad.
Oh, so, it's all good. All right. What do you got?
I went with a couple new indie books because I'm pretty much obsessed with indie anymore. So, and a company that's been awesome starting off, AWA, American Ronin. Like a little side note too with AWA, they just came out with all their trades at $9.99, like their first series of them. And that's awesome. We do carry them in the stores, so stop by and snag those up. But just cool that they sold them so cheap to get people like onto the stories and whatnot. But
that's a play right out of like Valiant and Image, buddy. Like
it was, you know? Yeah. And Image seems to be selective when they do it every once in a while now. It seemed like that.
Yeah. They've been kind of bumped up to like the $14.99, I believe.
It still isn't bad compared to others. So, I mean, that's still not bad. But I went with American Ronin because that was the book that I was most kind of excited for out of all the stuff, and it was a later starter. It's about an assassin. You don't really know he's American until they – just say his name's American Ronin. So he wears sunglasses all the time. He just can't tell. But basically it goes into telling a story about how he stalks his prey, how he stalks, you know, his clients, people that have done him wrong and whatnot. And it adds kind of a science fiction feel into it because he is able to collect DNA from, you know, whomever his target is. He injects himself with it and is able to like see their feelings, and he's able to push them over the edge in order to make them, you know, assassinate themselves, you know, commit suicide or whatnot. Really cool concept. Definitely had me from his first issue. I'm going to continue on. By far was my favorite one that I've read so far. I know people really was going crazy over that Year Zero because it had a lot of Walking Dead feel and whatnot, but American Ronin, you know, really cool starting off points, just issue 1. And really good company to try out for if you want something a little bit different, if you're kind of lacking on the superhero, want something different, try out that indie stuff. And American Ronin was a good start for me.
That's awesome. I really liked their Archangel 8. And
that was that's my second favorite. Yeah.
And the Resistance was excellent, mm-hmm. you know, with Strack.
They do the good horror stuff too with that old haunts and
Hotel was great. Yeah. A lot of their first wave stuff I read and I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've turned a lot of people on to them. They really remind me of because like a lot of the creators are like those 80s and 90s Marvel dudes, and it kind of like their first wave push reminds me a lot of Aftershock's first wave push. So like an Aftershock is still around and doing pretty well. So they kind
of a lot of their properties just got optioned. Congrats to them. So
yeah, so that works for me. So all right, my next book is a book I don't actually sub to. I read the issue before this because I wanted to see what all the hoopla was about. So I was like, I'll check out the next issue just because the cover was hilarious to me. So it's Thor number 8 from Dottie Cates and Marvel and Aaron Kruder, Matt Wilson. So this book, number 7 was crazy because everybody wanted it so they could call Tony Stark's cell phone, right? And then, you know, at the end, you see Adam pick up the hammer and turn into this almost like new Thor/Thunderstrike type character. Everybody's like, also had to get it because they were like, oh, he's going to be a new character. Yeah, he's done. This is it. Like, this is the other issue. And that was it.
It'd have been a surprise to anybody.
Oh my God. Right. So like while I love the fact that they're bringing in all these new characters and, you know, people are going nuts for these books because of that, I also hate it because it's like people who wanted to read the story, it really pulls. It sells the books, but it also pulls people who wanted to read the story away from finishing the series. That's just how I personally feel about it. But overall, I thought this book was pretty good. I just wish more people could have gotten issue 7 and it wouldn't have blown up so hard so that they could have read 8 because it's good. It's a good story versus just reading it for the hype or buying it for the hype to resell. So as everyone knows, I really don't like people who are flippers. But
I didn't know issue 7 was even a thing. So
yeah, it's because it had Tony Stark's cell phone number in it and it had the first appearance of Adam.
I must have dropped the ball on that one. I didn't know. So
I mean, it was still funny though. But
yeah. I'm enjoying that series, though. I wish he did more with – I hope Black Winter makes a return, like, from the earlier part of the series. So he kind of went out like a punk, and he needs to do some more Black Winter stuff because that was an awesome storyline. So hopefully we get more of that down the road. So
well, this whole King in Black storyline is coming up, so maybe it'll tie all of that stuff in. Because Donny Cates is kind of building to something, and obviously it's going to involve Null. But
yeah. Yeah, obviously, we'll as no one is aware of the Null.
All right, what do you got?
The second book, we only find them when they're dead. This is number 2 that I just read a little bit ago. The reason why I went with this is because Boom is by far, like I said, I'm obsessed with indie stuff here anymore. And Boom stuff is by far, in my humble opinion, they have been doing no wrong lately. They've been coming out with some really, really cool stories. Big writers, Tyrion's on there. And this one's done by Al Ewing, a personal favorite of mine since he did some Judge Dredd stuff in the past. So basically, if you haven't read the first one or want to jump in, I still have copies. So hopefully you can still find them. They were kind of popular for a little bit there just because it's kind of a cool concept. And this goes in with my favorite genre. It's like a space opera. So I love that feel of it. Basically, it's taking place within a ship's crew. And what they are doing is they're harvesters. They come up onto a giant celestial being, just a god is what basically they call them. But they harvest the different pieces of it for different, medical purposes, eating even, water, different things. It's apparently we don't know much about the society, but obviously this creates like big money for these people. And sometimes it's very strictly controlled by the government. And all these times these harvesters are trying to get away from so they can steal it to make even more money off the dead gods and whatnot. Well, one crew is trying to do that, but instead of actually, like, they're going to use the the pieces they harvest off the gut, but they want to find out why do they only find them when they're dead. They want to see if they can find a real living God. And in the second issue, they take off into a portal to try to get away to find out why is it they only find them when they're dead. The artwork is wonderful in it. It's kind of anime slash... it's kind of anime, but it's like a real like dreamy kind of artwork. And it's so far it's hitting on all cylinders for me. So really enjoyed it. I recommend everybody to check it out. Check out anything Boom. Wind is awesome by Tyrion. Just Severn Secrets, the new Unkindness of Ravens, just anything they're putting out.
I just caught up on Once and Future, which has been excellent.
It is.
Their Buffy stuff is great. Their Power Ranger stuff has been fantastic. So
I'm well documented on like Power Rangers. That's just wonderful. So that Boom is just like they're my company right now. I enjoy everything that they come out with. I haven't seen anything bad. You know, awesome. It's just crazy. It felt Boom always felt like little kids to me. Like, and now it's just like a whole like just. Goodness. It's hard to explain. So
no, it's all good. I mean, eventually we'll try to see if we can get somebody from Boom Studios or somebody that works for Boom on the show. Like, I think that would be a cool thing since we're very excited about Boom. I don't know if we'll get anybody as awesome as like Ross Ritchie or somebody.
We'll take Al Ewing. He's available. I know. So,
well, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, as soon as I'm done with this, the show, I'm probably going to read that Savage She-Hulk from the other night.
That was good.
I'm still behind a little bit.
It's good.
But speaking of people who are green, my last book is The Swamp Thing Halloween Spectacular, with 6 tales in it. They're all really epically good. You have guys like Ram V, Vita Alana, James Tynion, just some great writers in here. And it's just killer. Like it's 6 little stories, and you know, it really pushes the idea that Swamp Thing isn't just one person. Like it's there's been multiple Swamp Things throughout history. This shows you 6 different individual ones, including one that was in like ancient Roman times, one that was like a Japanese soldier in World War II. It was really awesome. If you're into Swamp Thing like I am, it was good. It wasn't as scary and spooky as I was hoping it would be, but there's some really cool art pages where just some crazy shit happens. Definitely check it out. And it's cool to see all the different kinds of Swamp Thing from the past. So definitely check it out. I really, really enjoyed it. And that's just a one shot too, so you don't have to worry about a lot. Mm-hmm. So speaking of Swamp Thing,
they need to do, on a side note, they need to do DC Black that everybody, you know, likes. Swamp
Black
Thing
Label?
Needs to be, he needs to be a little 3-issue series, but who am I to give ideas to them?
Well, you know, I mean, we can all criticize what's going on at DC, but, all in all, you know, they're still putting out comics that people read, and,
Batman's awesome, so...
Can't argue. So,
go ahead.
So, speaking of Swamp Thing, this week Swamp Thing premiered on the CW. Now, this happened for 2 reasons, I believe. The first reason is that they are discontinuing the video off of the DC Universe app, and they're moving certain things off of there. Like, they moved that off there. They moved all the other shows to HBO Max. Stargirl, I believe, was also on there, and that moved to CW as well. But the crazier part the second reason would be because of the pandemic, everything's behind, so they're kind of using it to fill out some show space in in there. So that's kind of cool that that's happening, that it's getting a second chance. And they said that, I believe somewhere they said if it does well enough, they're going to do a second season, which anybody who knows anything about the show, the first episode aired and then it got canceled. But they showed the rest of the 10 episodes. The first episode, it was kind of funny to watch them like blur out the mouth when somebody swore. but all in all, I thought it was pretty good. I didn't really like the tempo of where they put the commercial breaks, because I think on the streaming service, it did not have commercial breaks. I didn't pay for the streaming service, so I don't know. I didn't watch it before. But I really enjoyed it, man. I don't know if you saw it, but it was really, really good.
I have not. I've been told numerous times to watch it, but I have yet to. And it kind of dissuaded me whenever they like canceled it after the first. I'm like, well, you know, get invested in something and then it not be finished. But now this is some great news. So,
right. Yeah. Abby Arcane is played by Crystal Reed. And I was like, I'm like watching it and I'm just like, man, why do I know her from Teen Wolf, the MTV Teen Wolf? She was the main love interest for like the first three seasons, I think. She was like a daughter of a werewolf hunter.
So you said Teen Wolf. I'm thinking of the Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf. I'm sorry. I'm old, I guess.
Right. We got Andy Bean playing Alec Holland. And he was like in It and the Power Show on Stars. You know, this is actually pretty cool. It's got Madame Xanadu in it, and you see her in the first episode. But Jarrell Prescott's playing her. It's great. I want to see, since I've never seen it, and I'm hoping to really be impressed by it. Like, I know there's like, I know the Phantom Stranger shows up. I know Blue Devil shows up.
Wasn't Constantine even the guy that played Constantine in it? Or am I mistaken?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I don't think they were trying to mix that universe in yet.
I know he appeared somewhere, and I can't remember.
Well, he's on Legends of Tomorrow. Like, he's been on there for like two seasons. And he appeared on, or no, Lucifer appeared on an episode of like the crossover stuff. Which would be awesome to see that happen too. Like, that'd be real cool. But I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was good. It was definitely like on that, like the kind of spooky factor, like the darkness, like of it, the tones, the setting, everything was really good. Like I said, the only thing I had an issue with was the pacing of where the commercials landed. But again, I think that's because it wasn't originally made for airing on TV.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of good. So, you know, I'm gonna give it another shot for sure. And you know, we'll see how that works out, I guess.
I've never heard anybody say a bad word about it, so that's that's actually a sign. So, you know, check it out.
Oh, and tomorrow the season finale of The Boys comes out.
Oh, yes. Wonderful show. I am absolutely addicted with that show. It is hilarious in every aspect to me. So,
like a couple episodes where he had like the daydream of him just blasting people. Like, I was like, oh, how I wish, like, I want that. I want that in my life, you know? Like, there are days where I want that. That's what I want.
It's so different than the comics. It really is, but it's still very, very, very good. So, yeah. You know, I look forward to it every Friday. As soon as it comes on, hell, if I'm still up tonight and it gets loaded up on Amazon, I'll be watching it tonight real quick. So it's good. The relationship between, my mind went blank. What is his name?
Homelander?
Homelander. Geez, Homelander and Stormfront is.
Yeah.
Just hilarious to me.
Yeah, the way I was curious how they were gonna make that relationship work with gender bending Stormfront.
Yeah,
and they kicked it in the ass, man.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm fine with it totally. It was cool. Yeah, it was just the way they made them interact, and it's hilarious. So.
Oh yeah, like this. Yeah, this is probably like one of my most favorite shows to watch.
It is. Yep.
Yeah. And which one was the guy that played Lamplighter?
I don't remember his name.
Sean Ashmore, right? Yeah. So he has a twin brother named Aaron. So like they both have been in a lot of really crazy nerd stuff. So like Sean has been in like X-Men, like the Bryan Singer stuff. Like he was in the X-Men as Iceman, right?
Yeah,
he was Iceman. And he was in he was in The Following, which was a great show. He was in Smallville, and his brother was in also in Smallville, because I think they both did the thing. And he was in, oh man, he was in so many other things. Like they both just have like these crazy nerd credits to their name. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron was in one of the Superman movies. Like one of the newer ones, either Returns or Man of Steel or something. I can't remember. But I just remember being like, oh, it's one of the twins. All right.
He was cool in it. It was a nice little one episode type of deal with him. So it was cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I dug it. I also really like the character of Lamplighter from the original anyway, like from the books. So
yeah,
they really
as weird. Yeah. It's whenever he popped up there, I was like, this is different, but it was a good difference.
So. Yeah. When you first see him, it's very different. But then like you see him with like the actual lamp and you're like, whoa, that's so cool looking.
See, I actually thought it was funny. I was like, man, he shouldn't have been part of the seven, but but it was still cool though. It was good. So
all right, cool. Yeah, I think this was a quick one, and I don't have anything else really, unless you have anything else you wanna.
No, we're good. Good little ease back into it. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know when the Snyder Cut comes out or anything, but I don't know if I'm gonna watch that.
Not soon enough.
I heard it was so long, they're breaking it apart into hour long pieces.
I don't care how long it is. It's it's gotta be better.
I'm curious enough to want to check it out, but I also don't know if I really want to put myself through that.
I don't know what it'll be like. As long as Darkseid's in it, it can't really be bad for me. So as long as if I understood right, he was in it.
Yeah, so, they've shown pictures of him on one of the trailers.
Then that'll be worth me watching.
So. I just thought like the Snyder Cut Steppenwolf, like they had like the Snyder Cut Steppenwolf and then the Whedon Cut Steppenwolf side by side. Yeah. And I was like, the Whedon Cut one looks so much better. Cause he just like the Snyder one has like just spikes everywhere. And I'm just like, what are you?
that's not saying much. Cause I thought the Steppenwolf looked terrible. So
I thought he looked more like he did in the comics in the Whedon one, which is why I liked it, I think. So
I don't, I just still question why they picked him of all people. Like he's just obscure to me. And yeah, I don't know. You could have put somebody else in there, like, but whatever. Like I said, as long as I get to see Darkseid, it's a bonus win.
Yeah. I really feel that they kind of missed that boat, or opportunity to do that, because they led up to it so much.
Yeah.
In the other one. So I'm kind of curious to see how that kicks in.
It's going to be interesting which way they go with all these new changes and Justice League really not working out. Ben Affleck, thank God, not going to be Batman anymore.
And what? You're not a Batfleck fan?
I'm surprised how many people like him.
I know. I thought he was a good Bruce recently. Wayne. I thought he played a good Bruce Wayne, but just Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
I have high hopes for Twinkle Patterson. Hopefully
Sparkly Batman.
Right. Sparkle, yeah. I think he'll be all right. I have more faith in him than I had in Affleck. So
yeah, I everything I saw from that movie looks really good. It did get put on hold. He ended up with COVID. And they just said that they're not releasing it till 2022 now. So I imagine it'll be like a February 2022 type thing.
Michael Keaton's in it. So
yeah,
that's a winner right there. That's a winner.
Oh, no. I thought. I think he's in the Flash movie. Like he's in the Flashpoint.
Oh, he's in a flashback of something. Maybe it is the Flash. I'm sorry.
I think it's the Flash movie. And I think you're going to see him. From what I understand, it's going to be Flashpoint. So you're going to see it flip flop and stuff. Yeah. But I'm wondering if they're going to try to cast him as Thomas Wayne. Because that would be kind of cool, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think he'd fit it. I think he'd fit it. So
yeah, he can. Yeah. He's one of them, can do no wrong. At least I always liked him. So yeah,
I really hated the Flash's costume in Justice League. And that was
terrible. I wasn't really crazy about that overall casting, to be honest.
I think the
guy from, which I've never seen the TV show, but I think the guy from the TV show, just in like the little bits that I've seen, was better than Ezra Miller from.
I think Austin Grant, right? Or Grant Austin.
I can't remember.
I think he does. I think he captures Barry's essence, like his overall, like personality. I think he nails it a lot better.
Yeah.
Than Ezra Miller did. That's kind of. Yeah, and the costume was rough. And maybe that was it. Maybe I was just turned off by the costume enough that I didn't like it. I did think it was cool that when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, they had the moment of the Speed Force where they had the movie and TV flash like, oh, hey. Like, I thought that was pretty rocking.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're wrapping up here. So thanks for listening to the Return of the Toddcast, episode 71. Make sure you check out ndcomics.com/shop and choose your favorite ND Comics store to shop at. We now have everything online, from the new wall to the games to the board games to graphic novels, to toys, to Funko Pops. Lots of cool stuff, all available online. Shipping information is right online. Make sure you check that out. Support your local comic shop. If it's not at NDC and you're listening to this somewhere that you're way far away, or you can order stuff from us too, whatever, just support somebody. That's all I really ask. Other than that, if you have questions or if you want to talk to us, hit us up on our Facebook page. It's at NDC Toddcast. And we'll answer questions. If you have somebody that you want us to try to line up as a guest to hear us ramble about with, let us know and we'll try to do what we can. But we're really going to try to push indie creators, indie publishers, local guys, stuff that guys you've probably never heard of. And then if we can get some cool, sweet, awesome, high-end guys, we'll do that too. But we're going to start off slow. We're going to check it out. If you're a local shop and you want to talk to us and tell everybody how you're doing through our channel, I'm cool with that too. We're all in this together. So let us know and have a good night, and we'll talk to you later.